Let's just quickly pray and just ask God to bless his word to us. Our Lord, we just ask that you be with us and you guide my words and thoughts today. May they be your words, your thoughts, given for us for the sake of the world. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Now, I am got the privilege of wrapping up our series on generosity. Over the 3 weeks that we've had so far, I just want to give a little quick recap of where we've been and what's happened. So Paul, in our first week, looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 7, just before the reading that we've had just had. And it was a call to generosity. It's a reminder that the Macedonian church was actually giving a free gift to the Jerusalem church, and Paul was encouraging the Corinthian church to do the same thing. And Paul made this comment as part of his message that I think we all need to kind of take hold for ourselves as being part of that key thing, is that the giving is good for the giver. Paul was reminding us here that giving, that we when we give, is actually good for us as we give it. It's not just something that we do it grudgingly, but it's good for us. 2 weeks ago, I shared a message and it was revolving around 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 19. And ultimately, I was talking about that we're not to place limits on our generosity. Generosity is to be abundant and overflowing. And ultimately, we need to be generous be more generous because we're more than our money. We're not defined by who we are. We are not defined by our money. God defines who we are. Last week, Paul gave a cracking message. I must say, it was a fantastic message, looking at generosity and fellowship and how we are connected with fellow believers and how our generosity shares out within that ministry and in the lives of fellow believers in that fellowship of being together. And what Paul did was looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through to 11, and he gave this challenge for us that this was actually speaking to him during the week and that we should actually be supporting our neighbour's ministry in Zimbabwe. It's not our neighbours just down the road, but our neighbour's ministry in Zimbabwe, where Marty is working with a team over there, supporting those in great need. Our fellow brothers and sisters, our believers in another country, supporting with them. And to do that, and Paul made the statement that giving actually grows the giver. When we give, it grows us. So that's kind of recapping where we've been. And this week, I'm going to finish off the series by having a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 to 11, and our Malachi reading as well. And specifically looking at that collection that the Christian being taken up for the Christians in Jerusalem. So that's what they're talking about in our 2 Corinthians passage. It's a collection, an offering for the believers in Jerusalem. And in doing so, what I would like to do is explore the biblical concept of offerings and tithes. So we're going to be exploring that. Last time I spoke, and I want to reiterate that I feel really uncomfortable when I speak about money, and especially being out the front of the church. Interestingly, I've had conversations with fellow ministers from different denominations and different backgrounds and things like that, and they often say, I'm not doing my job if I don't talk about money every second week. I find that really confronting, but I also find it difficult for myself to be talking about it. But let me say this. Even though I find it difficult to talk about money, I actually feel that God is prompting me to talk about this subject today. So it's something that I'm going to kind of look at biblically for us, even though I may be uncomfortable. I'm much happier talking about the amount of grace and love of God than I am about what are our finances and how we're using them in God's ministry. But here we go. I want to ask you this question. How do you approach your giving? How do you approach your giving? Is it in a spirit of generosity and abundance, or is it from a concern about scarcity? Let me just phrase that again. Is it out of a spirit of generosity, or is it out of a concern for scarcity? Let's think about this for a moment. How many people have heard the statement that we are in a cost of living crisis? Yeah, I gather that's a yes. We've had an election and it definitely has been up the front and foremost on there. But basically what the cost of living in Australia has actually increased. It has been going up and up and up, which means that we have less discretionary, let me say this, we have less discretionary spending on the things that we would like to do. Okay. Depending on, you know, who you are and what state of life you're in and where you are sitting financially, it has different implications of what's going on in Australia at the moment. Now, I'm going to share with you a little graph in just a moment. And this is actually a graph over the last 10 years of the cost of living, the percent increase of the cost of living. I'm a bit of a data nerd at times, and so I went down this rabbit hole, jumped onto the Australian Bureau of Statistics and had a look at the cost of living graph. And you'll actually see that there's a big bump, which is actually 2 years ago, and it's gone down at the moment. But the cost of living is still up there. The cost of living is about, you know, all the kind of things, yeah, our houses that we live in, how much it costs us to live in our house, you know, your mortgage or your rent or all of those kind of things. It's about food, food and beverages, not alcohol, but food and beverages. They don't take alcohol into consideration when we're doing this. It's about the power use, the money that we have to spend and putting electricity on, all those kind of things. And it also is all about the insurance that we have. And water and all those kind of things that we have. It's actually gone up more relative than our wages. So we've actually in a place in our society where our cost of living has increased. You know, it's a tough thing, and what I wanted to say is that do we actually work when we hear this from a spirit of generosity? Or for concern of crisis, you know, concern about scarcity. When we hear the word a cost of living crisis, what do you think of? Oh, I'm going to run out of money because things have gone up so much. And what happens when we do that is we start to actually think and our patterns of understanding and behaviour actually changes. We move from an understanding of giving of first fruits to giving from what's left over when we work in a state of scarcity. So when we're thinking about the crisis that might be happening, we think about scarcity. We think about drying up of resources. We've got less to do. And what happens is instead of what the biblical principles are about giving from the first fruits, we think about giving from what we've got left over. It's changed our mindset and our pattern of behaviour. Yes, the cost of living has increased, but, you know, news cycles love to give a good story that creates panic because it sells papers. It creates people to tune in. And let me say this. There are people who are doing it tough. If you happen to own your own home, let me say, you've got an asset that is worth more than what most of the people in the world have. If you I want to say, I have been blessed in both. Annette and I have been thoroughly blessed by this church and providing for us for our living. This is absolute blessing from the church for us. We need to think about how we use that. And currently, the way that the cost of living is going means that those who are on government benefits, those that are on pensions, are the ones that are doing it tougher. Interest rates have gone down on housing. But things like milk, insurance, have all been going up. So those that have less are finding it harder than those that have got such a big asset. So just think about that for a moment when we think about how we view our generosity from the basis of our place in the world. And that's kind of there. So first fruits, do we give from the first fruits or do we give from what's left over? Let that sit there for you for a little bit about what it actually means for us to be giving in that regard. because I want to go into thinking about tithes and offerings. I want us to move into our what it actually means for us in tithes and offerings. I'm going to focus on offerings to start with, because, you know, they are, whenever we talk about money in the church, we tend to think around tithes and offerings as being the same thing. But let me say, biblically, they're not. Tithes and offerings are not the same things. They are two distinct things. They are two different practices of generosity that we find about our financial wealth that we find within the Bible. So I'm going to talk about tithing in a little bit later, but first let's actually have a look at offerings and the act of offerings being an act of generosity that we have. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. So I'm going to have this little look at verse 1, and then we're going to delve into it a little bit further. But it says this, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation because it kind of puts it all together for us. So I really don't need to write to you. So this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, talking to the church in Corinth about the Macedonians that have been brought up this gift, this offering, for the people, for the church in Jerusalem. Now, the church in Jerusalem has actually been undergoing famine and hardship, and they were really suffering. They just didn't have enough to actually eat because there was a drought and famine happening. And so Paul has been going and collecting an offering to support the Christian believers in Jerusalem. And so that's what he's talking about right here. I don't need to write to you about the ministry of giving. I love the way the New Living Translation puts that, the ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. So it's there to support fellow believers. Last week, Paul was talking about that fellowship, being connected with our fellow believers and sharing with them. The Greek for that actually says about the offering for God's holy people. So that's what the Greek is actually telling us. It's the offering for God's holy people. It's to be, Paul's encouraging the Corinthian church not to renege on what they've pledged to give. Not to put it at the last moment, but to actually put it aside ahead of time. He's actually trying to encourage them, don't think at the end of time you're going to have enough in your storehouse just to give off the extra. He's actually saying, think about it and give it and collect it beforehand, before these other believers come along. So it moves into that. I put the big block of text on it, which is the next section of passage I'm going to have a look. So if you're following in the Bible, it is verses 5 to 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And it says this, and I just want us to really kind of think about this. This is one of the biggest differences about offerings compared to tithes, is it's what we decide to give. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me. So these brothers from Macedonia are ahead of me to make sure you'll get them before the Macedonians come. So some other brothers coming to there just to make sure that they've got themselves ready. Ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift. Notice that he's going, and not one given grudgingly. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. So Paul's asking, if you're wanting to be generous, if that is not planted deep inside of you, if that abundance is not in there inside of you, you're not going to let it flow out. If you live a life that is about not being generous and not thinking about the abundance of God's grace in our life, then it's not going to overflow in you. So, not to give grudgingly. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. And I think this is the key thing here. And this is the key thing about what offerings are. You must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Notice that. Let me repeat that little section of scripture for you. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. That is offerings. You decide how much you are going to give to the wider work of church. It's a gift that you are giving that is over and above what a tithe is. That's the offering. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And it goes on to say, and God will generously provide all your needs. It's going, God's already there providing for it. And then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Notice what that offering is. It's to share with others. As the scripture says, they shared freely and gave generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. You know, when we decide to make an offering for the wider work of the church, wider work of God in the world, it's helping the needy and the poor, such as Paul encouraged us last week, and such as what is happening with neighbourhood fitness, Winded Transformation, and the giving that we're doing for that. This is an offering. This is something that we're giving back for other people's benefit, for the benefit in our neighbour's ministry. Let me say this. I'm going to sign up for the challenge. Okay, so you can sign me up. You can write it down. Simon is going to join in the challenge already. So do that, because that's part of what it, you know, I think that's actually part of what I want to make encourage, that I'm going to do that. I'm going to be participating in that as well. Because it's deciding that it's something that I can do. It's something that I want to do and be a part of. We're encouraged to freely give, and that's really important for us. So I want to move on from that concept of offering and giving to the concept of tithing. Now, I previously said that tithes and offerings are two different biblical concepts about being generous with our wealth, our financial wealth. So tithing. Tithing literally means a tenth, 10%, one-tenth. Tithing was actually this obligatory offering from the law of Moses requiring 10% of the Israelites' first fruits, because God provided for the harvest. So the first part was returned back to God. It's from the first fruits. It was a reminder to Israel that all things we have are his and return back to God. It was to show thankfulness for the God's provision, and also provided for the Levitical priesthood, for the festivals and for the needy. So the tithe was there to do it. Now, interestingly, if you actually have a look at all of the required giving that is recorded in the Old Testament, it equates to about 23% of the overall income that would have happened there. But the tithe is the first 10% given back for the looking after of the Levitical priests. So in other words, the church, the building and the work that the church is doing for the various things that they do and for the support they give to the needy as well. Offerings, on the other hand, are considered as gifts given outside of or as in addition to the tithe. It's not the tithe, it's different. Let me share with you from Leviticus, going back to the Old Testament for us, Leviticus 27, verses 30 and 34, which is actually the record of the law for tithing. And it says this: one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the field or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. If you want to buy back the Lord's tenth of grain or fruit, you must pay its value plus 20%. Notice that? So if you want to withhold the tithe, you must pay it back plus 20% on it. So count off every tenth animal from your herds and flocks and send them apart for the Lord as holy. So every tenth animal you are giving off to the Lord. You may not pick or choose between good or bad animals, and if you do not, and you may not substitute one for another. So that one's a better sheep. I'm going to keep that one. That's a bit scrawny. I'm going to give that to God. Not doing that, just the tenth animal along. But if you do exchange one animal for another, then both original animal and its substitute will be considered holy and cannot be brought back. So in other words, if you want to substitute, you're going to turn both over. Put it that way. So these are the commands that the Lord gave through Moses on Mount Sinai for the Israelites. It's that first 10% that is regarded as being called holy. It's set aside for the work of the church in the world. It belongs to God. The Israelites were to return to God what was God's. It gets confusing today, let's say this. For many Christians would say that, you know, tithing is actually part of the old law. And so therefore we don't need to abide by it. But let me say, a lot of the people, when they say that, they're actually saying it's not that, it's not the 10%. It's actually changing the understanding. It's not 10%. They will actually say you need to give even more. Because if you actually looked at the early church, they had brought everything into common. And they say you gave everything back together and we shared from that. So while they're talking about maybe it's not the 10%, and so that's where it gets confusing. You've got some people saying it can be anything. Other people saying tithes and offering are the same, but they're not. Biblically, they're different. And Jesus would be saying, well, it's actually not about what you're giving. It's about your heart and where you're doing it from. And so you're wanting to give from the first fruits. You're still doing that, but it's about your attitude. It's not, and you know, when he talks to the Pharisees and says, you know, I give one-tenth of all I earn to the, you know, aren't I great? And he says, well, you've missed the point. You need to be looking after those who are poor, struggling, those who need you. And that's going, yes, you might do that. That's the requirement of the law, but you need to do even more to support. It's the heart position that you have. Let me say this. This biblical concept of tithing is to actually give 10%. It's not to give 3%, it's not to give 5%, it's actually to give 10%. And it's to do that. Interestingly, the stats are that on average, people across the church give around 2.5% to the church, whatever way. I remember many years back a sermon illustration, and it stuck in my head as a wonderful illustration around tithing. And it revolved around a struggling rural congregation. This was a farming community. They grew grain. And they were struggling financially. They didn't have enough to pay the bills, to keep the lights on, to pay the water and all those sort of, and to even pay, you know, they were struggling to pay for a minister. I hate to say it, sounds very familiar for a lot of Uniting Churches around the place. And I can hear a few people laughing at that, but it's very true. There are so many churches that are struggling to actually make their ends meet to those kind of regards. And no one wanted to be a treasurer in the congregation because of the financial position that they found themselves in. No one actually wanted to take on that and be able to give the bad news to people that we can't make ends meet, we're going to have to close our doors. One person stepped up and said that they would actually be the treasurer, but what they're going to do is that they're going to trust the Lord with our finances. They're going to trust the Lord with their finances, that the Lord would provide. And a whole number of people said, I don't think I could give any more than I currently give. I'm at the maximum that I could give to the church. And the treasurer said, that's okay. You give what you think you should give. Do that. A year passes by and the books come in and they're looking at it. They're at the point where they can pay for everything now. They've got enough money to pay for a minister. They've got enough money to even think about new programs. And somebody asked the treasurer, so how did you do it? He says, you know, I own the grain silos and the grain lift. All of the church members, I took the first 10% and put it aside and gave it to the Lord. And we made all our money through the tithe. He says, you didn't even miss it. Now, while it's a lovely illustration about the power of tithing, I don't think that's the concept that you want of somebody taking it from you. It's not an income tax. Let me just say that. It's not an income tax. It's actually about us giving. It's about us making that choice to give that 10%. Stewardship is one of those key scriptural principles. It challenges us to recognize that God created everything and ultimately everything is owned by God. Humans exist as managers of these resources. Our finances are a key area of that. When Christians practice stewardship, do we do it out of God's abundance or we do it out of a crisis of scarcity? God's given us the ability to acquire wealth, and we live on the northern beaches. We have wealth. But we need to be mindful on how we use those resources to fulfill God's work to further his kingdom. I want to share with you our Malachi reading. Now, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. If you want to know where it is, just go to Matthew and go back. And Malachi is a prophet and is calling the people to recommit themselves to the Lord. Matter of fact, he's actually combating corruption and greed that the Levites were taking stuff for themselves and not offering back to God what was God's. People were withholding their tithe and not offering it there. And so you've got this whole situation where there's corruption and greed and the tithe was not happening. And so this is what's being written. And he's reminding people to rededicate themselves to God. And then God will give abundantly above and beyond. And it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouses so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out blessings so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. So in other words, he's not going, put God to the test. He's saying, put to the test of tithing. And see how God will work within your life that you will actually change. You'll have abundance come out of you. Now, this is not give money to God and prosperity and go, you're going to get more wealth out of this. This is about you are going to change. That's in your life. That will be different. And it goes on, your crops will be abundant so that you'll give an abundance to the tithe. For I will guard them from insects and disease. The grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord. So this is about bringing what God is abundantly already giving to you back to God and giving that tithe there. Now, we've had a challenge about transformation and giving an offering and a gift above, a donation above to our neighbor's ministry and continuing to support in that regard. Now, I want to give you another challenge. I want to give you this tithe challenge. Now, some of you may already tithe. Some of you may not. Some of you might be thinking, oh, I'd like to try tithing. God tells us that in Malachi 3, 10 to 11, to put God to the test about tithing. So are you willing to put God to the test about tithing in your life? Are you willing to return the first 10% of what you have to God? Now, in the app, you'll actually see that there's a tithe challenge. And let me just tell you about it. If you're willing to do the tithe challenge, it's a challenge for 3 months, to tithe for 3 months. And if you don't see a change within you, God not working in your life through that process, we as a church will give you back 100% of what you've given. Honestly, we've been talking about this as a ministry team and going, are we willing to trust in God and what God's doing? If you're willing to say, I want to step up and I want to do that tithe challenge, if you go to the app and you click on that tithe challenge, it'll actually bring up for you a little form that you can fill in saying, I haven't been tithing before. I'm going to step up and tithe. And I'm going to do it for the next 3 months. And if I don't see God work in my life, you've got the option to ask the church to give it all back. Okay, we'll guarantee that we'll give 100% back. We'll go through everything and give everything back to you if you don't see God working in your life. That is our commitment to you to do that because we really believe that God is going to work in your life if you step up and do this. So let's just pray. You know, I've spoken a lot about money. I've spoken a lot about us being generous. I've spoken a lot about what it means for us to think differently about offerings and tithes and about giving of the first fruits. So let us give of ourselves back to God. Let's just pray together, church. Our Lord God, you challenge us so often, and Lord, you challenge me. Each and every time I hear about this, about what I hold for myself as opposed to what I give to others. Lord, help us to be generous in all that we have, in all that we do. Help us to give first fruits of our time, first fruits of our energy, first fruits of our wealth that we have accumulated. Lord, let us not hold back. Let us not be holding back the tithe, but let us give to you so that you may abundantly work within us, that you may abundantly work within our community, that we may share with those around us, and that you may work through us so deeply and powerfully. Our Lord, we just pray this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. As we're able, let us just stand and sing together in our final song.